Man in the Mirror.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them eat? I saw a disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one-man show. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one yet to know.
Thank you.
man in the mirror. Sometimes you got to look at the person in the mirror to be able to change. And you know what? Tonight, we have three male black authors who have made those changes. They've created books. They've authored books. They have something to tell their children about. They have narratives. What's your narrative? What's your story? We have three male authors who will be talking about their stories through their books. You thought you had a hard life, and you may have, but these fellas, let me tell you, once you hear what they have to say, you will think, you too can write your story. But we'll talk about that as well. I am your hostess, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of On Ice Velcro Designs. And this evening, we welcome worldwide listeners to Tuesday, April 4th, 2023, with Miss Inez Says. Let's talk about it, creating the narrative. You may cringe. You may cry. You may have some questions and may have some feelings, emotions, and wonderment as these three authors have experienced. But you won't know unless you join me tonight at 845-241-9985 or go online and join me in the chat room. So I want you to share this link, www.blogtalkradio.com/Let's Do It Radio, and click on the episode tonight, Creating the Narrative. So we have a great treat this evening with three fine male authors who will be telling us about their journeys and their struggles. But I don't want to belabor anything. I know they're probably nervous, so we're going to oosah in and oosah out and shake off, you know, all the little nerves and everything, because it's nothing but like talking on the phone to your best friend. I'm going to be your best friend tonight. So we want to welcome first the publisher of these three fine men's books, Miss Laquita Parks. She's a publisher of Pay Pro V Publishing, LLC. She helps you take your story from a thought to realization. She is not feeling all that well, so I'm going to be her mouthpiece, kind of. But I'm going to let her at least greet us, and we are going to go from there. Miss Laquita, go ahead.
Thank you so much, Inez. Thank you so much for having me. I always enjoy co-hosting your show. I love your messages, and I love what you're doing with your platform. My name is Laquita Parks, and thank you so much for I'm asking you guys for your patience in advance. Something hit me a couple of hours ago, and I'm not feeling well at all. But I could not miss this opportunity to introduce these three amazing authors. And I'm just honored that they trusted Pay Pro V Publishing to help them take their stories from a thought to a realization. When you're writing, writing is therapeutic, right? But it can also be stressful. It's your nerves. You're telling your story. You're getting it out, and you have to go through. Okay, well, is anybody gonna like my story? There are gonna be people who don't agree with your story, because you know we all have villains in our lives. I tell people all the time, if you don't want to end up the villain in somebody's story, then get your act right together. So I am so excited. But as the CEO and founder of Pay Pro V Publishing, and Pay Pro V means pain, progress, victory, because I believe without pain, there's no progress, and without progress, there can be no victory. So I help people take their stories from a thought to a realization and help them create the narrative. So each one of these gentlemen, in their own right, in their own stories, have created the narrative. And that's important because they have created a legacy, so they can tell their own story in the way that they want to tell their story. And so without further ado, I'm just going to just kind of go around and introduce them. First, I'll start with Mr. Marvis Cox. Marvis is amazing. He is the author of My Box of Chocolates, and it is just I love how transparent and how open he was to sharing. And that's just the beginning. That's just book one, honey. He got book two coming. He is also a contributing author. He is also a veteran. So I want to say to Marvis, thank you for your service. He is also a veteran, and he contributed an amazing story in Unknown Battlefields, which was a veterans project that we did for Pay-Per-View Publishing. So Marvis will speak. And then I want to introduce Dom Martini Celine. And Dom and I have some history. We go back a couple years. We used to work together. And it was just always a pleasure talking to Dom. And we didn't communicate for about 5 years. And, we kind of reconnected on Facebook. And I said, hey, I found out he was a veteran. And I was like, hey, I'm doing this veterans project. And he said yes immediately. And he is also a contributing author in Unknown Battlefields. And Dom, thank you so much for your service. And then Dom came back this is going to be a series of short stories, and his first one, an amazing story called A Life Worthy of Death. So Dom Martini. And then we have none other than Mr. Vernon T. Smith. And I met Vernon through social media. Another person introduced him. And, man, his story, My Life's Greatest Trouble, you don't know. You cannot. It is impossible for you to look at people and tell what they've been through. I did not know some of the things that this man has gone through in his life until I had the pleasure of putting his story together. So Vernon is an amazing, amazing person, very humble. And he has an amazing story. You wouldn't know it to look at him because he be sharp, y'all, clean as the board of health, okay? I mean, he wet him suit and he loves to take pictures. So so it has just been a pleasure working with these three men and helping them to get their book projects started. And this is just the beginning for them. So without further ado, I introduce Mr. Marvis Cox, Mr. Dom Martini, Celine, and Mr. Vernon T. Smith. And so there you have it.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we also have with us Dr. Monica Y. Jackson, who on Thursday will be having her speak and have some speakers as well. And she has joined us this evening as well. So if she wants to say something before we do get started, you're more than welcome to, Dr. Monica. Dr. Monica? Okay, she may have us on
mute. I was on mute. I am so sorry.
Okay.
Good evening, everyone. I don't have much to say. I just got off of a podcast with Ms. Laquita, and my voice was shot, but we're looking forward to being present next week with your audience and sharing the T4, which is Trial, Triumph, Truth, and Fear Summit. So I'm just tuning in for tonight. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But join in on Thursday because, hey, it's going to be quite an evening on Thursday as well. So, and her day or Thursday is T4. Now, let me get this right. I know it's Trials, Triumphs, Tears. Okay, help me get it straightened because I don't have everything in front of me. It's called, let me get my life straight.
Trials, Triumphs, Truth, and Tears.
There we go. That's it. So I want y'all to join us carry it on from tonight up to Thursday night. So thank you, thank you, thank you. So first we're going to get started with Mr. Vernon Smith. And I'm going to read a little bit about his book, and then I'm going to let him dive into it because he's going to do just fine. But let me just get started. So this book is not intended to discredit anyone in any shape, form, or fashion. It is strictly about my life, my life's greatest troubles, part one. So if there's a part one, everybody can say There must be a part two. So we're going to get ready for part two after we hear about part one. And that's about him, a little boy growing up in the mid-70s and early 80s. It's about being raised up by what a lot of people are raised up now, by a single parent, his mother, Miss Helen. It is about my life as a young boy, along with my other siblings, and how we were able to survive in spite of hardships. So this book is about my life as a young boy growing up with my younger brother. And you know how younger brothers are. The bigger brother tries to bring the younger brother in so that he can have all, you know, all the trouble dumped on them. Because that's what I used to do with my little brother. But we won't talk about that. That's another story in itself. But anyway, and how we continue to exist despite not having a father guiding us or showing us true values. And that's what happens to a lot of our young men these days. They don't have that male figure. But we're going to hear from Mr. Vernon Smith as we give him a round of applause. Come on, round of applause. And he can tell
good
us
evening,
about
everyone.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Good
welcome.
Evening, everyone. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's about me growing up, and like I said, in the 70s and 80s, being raised by my mother was excellent, and my father, I think he left when in 68, so I was 4 years old, and my baby brother was 2, so, and he never came back, so my mother did the very best she could possibly do. I'm six of eight siblings, and so it was eight of us in the house when he left. And we lived in a house on Jonesboro Road. It was a small house, but Mama, she did the best that she could do, and she did a great job. But having not having a father around, it's a lot of things can happen as far as being disciplined and stuff like that. And so a lot of trouble that I got in, probably because there was no male figure around. And I'm just grateful for my mom. That's why I dedicated this book to her, because even in spite of all of the trouble that I got in, she was still right there. Even from the trouble that I put myself in, she never – you have to have a support system. No matter, you know, whether it's good or bad, and my mother was always there. So I, you know, it was a struggle for us growing up in the 70s and 80s. It was a struggle, but things got better. I mean, but still, I had to go through a lot. And little did I know that God was right there in the midst of all of my troubles. Even though I did not know Him then. But he was always there, and that's going to be talking about that throughout the book, and especially in the second book, which we're going to start with the first one, though. But the second book is going to take a twist and turn. It's going to talk about, you know, how God really changed my life. But during this time, I was getting into a whole lot of trouble, went to juvenile, doing a lot of things, but my mama was still right there to support me. So it was rough. Growing up in the 70s and 80s. And like I said, my father never came back to get us, not one time, not even the PTA meeting, the sports, nothing, none of that. So it was just Mom all the time. So we didn't know. So we basically had to, me and my baby brother actually had to raise ourselves after a certain age. We just, you know, Mom had to work. She did work many jobs to keep, you know, roof over our heads and feed us and stuff like that. So it was rough growing up.
Okay, so how do I want to say that? So he just walked out of your life. He didn't say goodbye, didn't say anything. He didn't go into the service. He just said.
Well, at being 4 years old, I can't remember him ever. So I was very young, but yes, he did walk away. And, you know, talking to with my sisters and everything, they said, well, he just left and he never came back.
And
so,
see,
yes,
back then, you know, a lot of times, you know, people, they just, you know, they didn't want to be bothered. They just left. They didn't care. They just,
well,
you know, I don't want to deal with this, you know, regardless of who it is. It's like, you know, I don't want to be bothered. And then they start a new life. So have you ever tried to reach out and find him?
No, I have a relationship with him now, but we never sat
okay.
down and talked. He never sat down and talked about it. What happened? Us never talked about all of that. You know, you can't get that back. But he never, you know, sat down and talked. Never had the conversation to sit down and talk about it or what happened or anything like that. But like I said, he never came back. And I mean, I have a relationship with him now. I see him. He's 94. He'll be 94 in November. Yeah, he's still here, you know. Thank God for him. I mean, but at, uh-huh. like I said, but that child coming up as a child, he never came uh-huh. back. He never spent any time.
So,
we never went to a ball game. We never went anywhere.
So when did you, when did he come back into your life? Or when did you finally, you know, meet up? Or how old were you?
He actually didn't come back in our lives. So I just went, as we got older, we went around. Mm-hmm. I mean, he worked for Lockheed Martin. I would see him maybe a week before Christmas. He worked for Lockheed Martin. So what they did, the company that he worked for would give a present to the employees. And so he would come and pick
okay.
us up, and he'll take us to the job, and we'll get. But other than just, I'm talking about just being the father, just coming and getting us every other week and stuff like that. So I had
mm-hmm.
to actually
mm-hmm.
do this. So see, I had this thing. Well, I'm not gonna talk about this. You just had to read the second book. But anyway, but no, he never came back. And but we have a
okay.
relationship now. After we got grown, I mean, we started forming a relationship like that. But as a kid growing up, he never came. Even the
mm-hmm.
trouble when I was in trouble, he still didn't come. This evening when I went to juvenile, he never did come around, you know, to see, check on things and see how things were going. He just never came back for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so we never talked
wow.
about it right to the day. He never said anything about it. I don't know. But it, like I say, it was rough. That my mom was always there. She's always
mm-hmm.
there for me.
And something may have happened that he may have been embarrassed, you know, that he didn't want anybody to know. And that's just a question that
you would have to face with him.
Could
be.
Mm-hmm.
It could be. I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Really
so
don't
you've
know
never
that.
Had a sit-down, come to Jesus meeting with him?
No.
Hmm.
And you know what, Inez, one
mm-hmm.
of the things, that's interesting, you know, when we hear a lot of times girls not have a father mm-hmm. in the home. You know, I know I
uh-huh.
didn't. My dad, we know my dad, but my dad wasn't there when I was growing up either. And
okay.
you know, it's like, okay, I didn't have anybody to pattern after, you know, where relationships
mm-hmm.
were concerned. You know, do I pick a man that, you know, that's like my dad or not like my dad? You know, I don't know. You know, and so when I hear stories like Vernon's story, the dad just walk
mm-hmm.
out. Boys need their fathers too, because there's so much that they can teach, and just having a male role model to pattern after. Sometimes just having that can, you know, can stop a whole lot of unnecessary things that we get into in life because we're seeking that lesson that we didn't get from that should have come from, you know, from dad. And
mm-hmm.
you know, and there are moms that disappear, but you know, the weight is usually on that one parent, and it's not. It shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I want to ask Vernon a question. So Vernon, I know your father. And how have you patterned your life as a father so that you wouldn't be like your father? You wouldn't be an absentee father. So how has fatherhood been in that aspect for you?
It's good because my mom, I see her mama did a lot. And for whatever reason, I just believe it was God. Because, and then my grandpa, I had a relationship with my grandparents. They live across the street,
okay.
which was his mom and dad. So they live across the street. So I've learned a lot from them, from my grandparents. Good. Thank God they were in my life because they taught me so much. So as far as me being a parent, I guess come natural. I don't know. But I raised all four of my kids. My wife walked out on walked out on me. And
wow.
My kids was in school, but I stayed. But I raised all of them to graduate from school. I never did. I mean, that's going to talk about that in the second book. But I did that.
Okay.
I raised my family.
Okay. So on the first book, so where does it stop in the first book? This tells you about the trouble that you got into. Can you talk about some of the trouble
It talks about the trouble. It stopped in 92. It talks about when I started selling drugs and all that. But also in the second book, it's going to be a little bit trouble, but my life changed. It changed.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
God changed.
Okay. Okay, so you said you were selling drugs. So what other kind of trouble were you and your little brother in? So did you say, hey, little bro, come on with me?
Just got in juvenile when I was a teenager, and then once I got a grown man, and then I started selling drugs and got in trouble with selling drugs.
Okay, so how long were you in juvie, and how many times were you in and out of juvenile detention?
Oh, just one time. I learned
just one time. Okay. You said you learned your lesson.
I did. Until I started selling drugs, then I got set up. I got busted, then I went to jail. See, juvenile and jail is two different places. So
that is correct.
I went to jail. Right.
So you want to talk about the time in jail, and how long you were in jail?
Yes. I was in jail maybe 3 or 4 days because I was set up.
Oh.
And when I went in there, I've never been locked up. I mean, as far as I went to jail, and so it's new to me. And I went in there and I had my head hung down because they told me with no bond. You know, I was caught with a pistol.
Mm.
I had crack cocaine,
mm.
and they told me no bond. So when I went in there, I just sat down. This guy came up to me and said, "What's going on, black man?" I said, I'm in some trouble. I got busted, and they wouldn't give me a bond. He said, "Hold your head up, God." He said, "I know someone that can get you a bond." And I said, "Really?" I said, "Cause I had a lawyer. He told me I got to get on the bond calendar date. It may be a month." But this guy said, "I know an attorney that can get you a bond." And so he gave me that number, and I called my wife, and she called him, and I was out. In 3 days.
Mm. Wow. Okay.
I was out in 3 days.
Okay.
So that was a lesson. That was a lesson learned right there as well.
Okay.
Not to trust nobody.
Wow.
But that's not the end of it. I still got in trouble again.
Mm.
But that was the last
okay.
time after this second time.
Yes. The second time. So is that part two or is that
three,
part one?
That's three times. That's three strikes you out.
You're out.
I got busted twice. That was three times you out. That was it. It was old for me. That was not the life that I wanted to live. God told me. He said, "No, that's not you. You keep getting in trouble." He said, "No." But when I was writing this book, he brought a lot of things to my remembrance. He just said, "Listen." He said, all of that time that you thought you had, it was me.
Mm-hmm.
I was the one that did.
Mm-hmm.
He was right there for me. When I was writing the book, what inspired me to write the book, when the pandemic hit, I had anxiety. I was having panic attacks. What happened, I'm a singer.
Mm-hmm.
And, I had a hernia in my esophagus. Since the pandemic and you couldn't go to the doctor, so you had to go on the do virtual. So I need to let somebody see me. So I was losing weight. I couldn't swallow. I had to see a psychiatrist.
Okay.
And so when I went to see the psychiatrist, he set me down. He said, "You need to." Do your breathing exercise or sit down and write.
Mm.
And so I was thinking about it. So God said, "You need to sit down and write your story." That's what he told me. Even this right here, it was me. Hebrews 13:5 said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." So he was right there. He never left me, even when I wasn't even serving him back then. But when he was, so all of the stuff that I remember, he brought it to my remember. He said, "I will bring all things to your remembrance." So he said, when I sat down and start writing, it was just flowing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Wow." He said, "Remember that? I was right there. I was that rock. I was there right there for you." So that's how I was inspired because God, he set me down to write this story, and I dedicated it to my mom. Because she was my support system. You have to have a support system. I don't care. You just have to have.
Yeah, yes you do. Wow, nice. So, did you have children at the time when you were in jail?
I did. The first time I had two boys.
Okay.
The second time I went, I had two girls, so I got four in all. I got two sons and two daughters. I got twin daughters.
Twins,
and
they were small,
but I couldn't continue to keep doing that. So I had to. They can't see me going to jail and doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I didn't sell crack myself, and for around them, I did it in the street. But still, I was still a drug dealer. And they knew what I was. I mean, you can try to hide a lot of that, but their kids are very smart. They know what's going on. Their dad in jail, so he had to be doing something. You know what I'm saying? So you couldn't hide that from them.
Mm-hmm.
But that last time it was enough. He set me down. He said, "That's it. It's over for you."
And so, how old were you when you got out of jail and then turned your life around, or is that in part two?
I say 31.
Okay. Do you mind me asking your age now?
What's that now? Okay.
So what you say, as they say, you done growed up, huh?
Oh, I told you that second book. That's over with. Yeah.
And you want to tell? Go ahead.
Matter of fact, I just got my record cleared. I've been working on it.
Nice.
Just got it cleared, so I don't.
Congratulations! And this book is just newly published as of March 5th, 2023. So it's what? April, March, almost a month old. So March 5th, and this is April Fool's. So congratulations. So you started writing your second book. So when do you think that will be published? Do Miss Laquita, Pedro V. Publishing.
I'm hoping we can get it out this year before the year's over.
Okay.
I'm about half done.
Okay.
Because I have been starting work on it's over half. I'm half the way done with it.
Okay.
And I picked it back up in 93. I'm in 2003 right now, so I don't know when I'm gonna stop.
Okay.
right now.
You don't stop until you get to the age that you are now.
I know, right? Because I got a story. I'll tell you.
Yeah, I got.
You're right.
Have I got a story for you? That's what you said. Have I got a story for you? Wow. Well, we do have quite a few listeners on the line. I'm going to see if anybody would like to ask any questions of you. I'm going to start. I'll start at the bottom, and the last four are 0835. That's Reverend Carolyn Williamson out of Yakima, Washington. She's listening. Do you have anything you'd like to ask Reverend Williamson?
No, I don't.
No. I was asking her if she had any questions to ask of you.
Oh, okay.
And she might be out driving and she may be on mute and think that she's not unmuted. Okay, we'll come back to her. And then we have Dr. Jackson. Do you have any questions or would you like to ask anything of Mr. Vernon Smith?
One of the comments that he made was he never came back. And, I mean, that really struck me. And it struck me because I will say for me, he was never there. That's my story. And
gotcha.
I'm listening to him. I didn't personally feel the impact of not having my father there because I never knew. I mean, I never knew what it was like to have a father. And growing up, most people around me didn't have fathers or father figures. So it was kind of normal.
Mm.
You know, it was just, it wasn't something that I missed if you didn't have it. So I guess my question would be, you know, and I guess I'm not sure if you can answer it, is if your father was never there, would it have had the same outcome or would you have the same impact? Or was it the fact that he left and never came back? Just a question.
I feel that it wouldn't, a lot of things that I was doing as a youngster, as a teenager, I don't know. If he was in the house, no. I don't think it would have happened. A lot of things. Now, I mean, I'm not saying kids do get into stuff, but I just feel that having a father, because I'm a father, and so I was kind of strict on my kids. I'm just being honest.
I did not play it.
So I can say that that if my father would have been there, things I'm pretty sure that things wouldn't have happened that way. In a lot of cases. Because my kids never got in trouble. Went through high school, graduated. And girls, we were talking about that not too long. They said, "Damn, you never didn't let them have no company and spend a night." I said, "No, we laugh about it now, but it's good though. I didn't let them go too many places. No, and I didn't let people come here, and I didn't let them go. So I'm just, you know, I'm just watching them. I'm just like, they say I was rough."
Mm-hmm.
But it's good. So I don't know if I answered the question, but if he came every other week just to get us or something. But like I said, he never, you know, came to pick us up and did anything, spend any quality time or something like that. So it plays a big part. I feel that it did.
Has he tried to make up for lost time at all, Vernon?
No. Be honest with you. No.
That's the hard part. They're not, you know, not trying. So,
Doctor. Like I said, we have a relationship. You know, we can't take, you know, bring that, you know, that time is already gone. But like I'm saying, even back, we still ain't able to just sit down and just went out to eat, go to a ball game. Just never had to even sit down and have the conversation about that. You know, I might be to blame too for not asking him, but I feel that, you know, if he knew he wasn't there, I mean, he could just want to talk to me. He don't have, you know, I just never came and asked him why, and he never said anything to me about it. We just go on. But like I said, no, we never had that conversation about.
And your siblings, did they feel any type of way that, you know, he had gone out of the lives and just kind of came back in and did whatever, acted like nothing was going on?
Well, I can't speak for them, but I know my baby brother, we and him grew up, we were very close. And we, matter of fact, he was here the weekend, and we was talking, and that's what we talk about a lot of times. We sat down and talked about it, because I feel he's hurt more than me, and because he was two, and definitely never come back with him, so he don't even like knowing that, like, being honest with like that, you know, open, but not knowing that. So we talk about that, but, you know, and he was just talking about, you know, we 12 miles apart, but we can't sit down and have a dinner together. I said, well, yeah, you know, that's what, you know, we never had that. We never went to a game. We never, you know, got all the boys together and just hang out. We never did that. So, and he's absolutely right. We never did it.
okay.
I don't know. Okay. Like I said, I don't, maybe one day I may just bring, you know, I don't know. He'll be 94. He's still driving. He's still getting around. He's doing good. He's doing great. I went to visit him Sunday. You know, he was doing good.
Okay. Well, at least you do get to spend some time with him before, you know, But
oh, yeah.
Hey, maybe
I'm gonna do my part. I'm gonna do my part.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Make sure you do your part, and so you can't blame me for not trying.
Right. That's right. I try. That's all I can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you can do is try. You know.
That's exactly correct. Thank you. Thank you for your question, Dr. Jackson. And then we have Pastor Betty Bennett on the line as well. She'd like to say anything. Or the Bennetts, I don't know if both of them are on the line, but I know Pastor Betty's on the line. Welcome.
Yes, I want to say greetings this afternoon. I want to commend the young man for his, his strength to author this book and write it and to put his heart's work into it and what he's been through and what he has come out of. I like even more of the fact that he has come out of it. And I did have one question for him that I wanted to ask, and I hope, you know, it is something that will move him to, if he's not already working in that direction, to do so. Because we still do have so many families that maybe, you know, their father necessarily – I guess, in a sense, did not just walk away from them, but the father's not active in their lives whatsoever. And we're still having an age-old problem with absentee fathers and with young men getting into trouble. And that's the reason why they're saying that. The question that I have for him is, what is he planning? Well, not necessarily what is he planning to do, but are there any plans that he may have to travel and tour along with his book to share some of the intimate thoughts and how he came through this and the fact that he came through it with other young men that are in a similar situation to help them realize that they too can survive this. They too can come through it. They too can be successful in life.
Yes, I'd be glad to do that. That's no problem.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay. Well, she's in Little Rock, Arkansas, so if you're in Little Rock, Arkansas, you'll need to look her up. But we can always connect people. So, you know, because that's a good idea, because there's a lot of young men who don't have father figures.
It is.
And you could be a father figure to somebody like that, you know, like the Steve Harvey mentoring camp. Maybe you might start your own little mentoring program, you know, my life's greatest troubles mentoring camp. Maybe they have problems as well that they can't talk to anybody about because they can't identify with anybody else. But if they see you, who's already gone through this, then it's like, oh, he's been through this, so he should be easy to talk to. And, you know, you said that you were, quote-unquote, going to have a hard time talking this evening. You're doing just fine. You know, like I said, just like talking to a friend over the phone. You know, and that's what the young men are going to do. They're going to come and talk to you. Like, as they say, Jesus, you know, have little children around his feet, and they're just going to come to you. Bruh, how did you do it? How did you become strong? Because so many of the young men are so filled with hatred and resentment to their, quote-unquote, person who I can't say fathered them, but who helped bring them into existence, because they don't have them in their lives. So what do? Do they go after them? Do they look for them? What do they do? And you could say, hey, you know, maybe they'll come around, maybe they're not. Did they walk out of their life? Were they ever in their life? Those are some of the questions you can ask them, and maybe help them travel down a different road.
Inez, I love that. You know, there's the saying, each one, teach one. You know, the Bible teaches that the older women teach the younger women. You know, I believe each one, teach one, each one, reach one. So all of these men on this platform tonight, they've made that first step, and they have a responsibility. God has gifted us with so many amazing talents, and God has gifted each and every one of us with the ability to do what it is he needs for us to do, how, wherever you are, whatever state you're in. And when I say state, I don't mean demographical location. I mean whether you're physically, mentally, emotionally, financially. Mm-hmm. God has gifted you with the ability to do something. And these men, because there is that missing element. And when boys hear mama, they hear ma. You know, it's mama's nagging. You know, that's what the voice sounds like to their ears. But when they hear dad, when they hear that male figure, it causes them to stand up straight, especially when they know somebody cares for them. So I appreciate that, and I think that that's an amazing idea, because there are so many men. We're right here in the city. We're in Atlanta. But right here in the city, there are so many. But then when you talk about a leg out across the world, there are not enough. Uh-huh. There are not enough men helping young men. The women are doing women are doing what they can do. We're doing what we can do, but the men are needed. So I just appreciate all three of these guys for taking that first step. And they're all doing some amazing things already. So it's amazing. Right. So congratulations again, Vernon.
And I have something else I can maybe offer. Okay, maybe if you don't do get out and go tour, but maybe people can call in. Let's talk. I want to call it the barbershop beauty salon night or whatever. You know, you have barbershop talk and whatever, and people have beauty. You know, maybe something like that where the people can call in, because a lot of times they can't get out, but everybody has a cell phone. Correct me if I'm wrong. You know, at a certain age, so they can always call in, and if they want to have a night, if y'all want to, you know, say, hey, call in if you have questions, boom, 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 so on and so forth, and you can ask these young men or just ask, you know, men in general, maybe Laquita's father and other men who are out there, and Apostle Bennett, you know, who are strong men, to help guide them. And help, you know, be there for them, and where you can, like, become a brotherhood type of thing. Because a lot of times they don't have that where they can trust somebody, or they're going to tell their story. Well, they don't have to tell their name on this radio show. They say, hey, my name is anonymous type of thing. So, you know, this could be a platform as well. So don't think that you have to go out and travel, which is a nice thing, so they can see you and buy the book. But even here, it's like, okay, they can get your book where? On Amazon and where else? You know, type of thing. So if you want to read the book, you can tell them where you can get the – well, okay, before we do, let's go to our next person if they have anything they'd like to say. The next caller, if you want to say something, please do. The last four is 0469. If you want to say something, please introduce yourself, or you can just say, I'm just listening. But you need to unmute first. Hello? 0469, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No, I'm just listening.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay. 5167, thank you. 5167, do you have anything you'd like to say? Or if you're just listening, please let us know.
I'm just listening.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure having you here. Thank you. Thank you. 1619. If you'd like to ask any questions, or if you're just listening, please let us know.
I am enjoying the topic of discussion. It's been a great show. I'm just appreciative. Shout out to the winning team members, everybody I text and told them to come on in, and that's about it. You're doing a great job.
Well, thank you, fine sir. And that's Pastor Don, Junior CEO of the winning team. He comes on and he listens, and he sends his message out or texts a lot of people so they can join in and listen to the Let's Do It Radio and Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. So I appreciate him calling in as well as sending out text messages to get the masses informed so they can listen in, call in, or if they have any comments. And next we have Marvis Cox, if you want to say anything, and welcome to the show.
Yes, hello, everyone.
Hi.
My name is Marvis Cox. I thought the guy did a great job, and he does. He definitely has a great story to go ahead and tell people, you know, nationwide, because it is an issue.
Yes.
You know, families, you know, not having a father there and so on and so forth, because it definitely makes a difference to the child. So I commend him to even have the courage to even tell a story. You know, I did have one question, you know, dealing with that situation, did it make him resent men in the whole, you know, sense of things?
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you...
That's a good question. Did you hear the question, Vernon?
No, what was it now?
Oh, he was wondering,
that,
if you want to go ahead and ask your question. Go ahead, Marvis. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know that due to the fact that you didn't have your father there with you, did it make you resent men as you got older?
No, no, it didn't.
Okay.
No.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you. We're going to be hearing from Marvis a little bit later on. Thank you so much for the question, Marvis. And next we have on, it's 5029. Would you like to say anything, or do you have any questions, or if you're just listening, please let us know.
Yes, my name is Jacqueline Cox. I'm Marvis's wife, and another one is from Cletus Harper. The question that I was I have was pretty similar. I'm sorry, that's Marvis Cox Jr. in the background. You got to excuse me. It's my turn tonight with the children. Really quick, Mr. Smith, the question that I had was pretty similar to my husband's question, but you say you didn't resent or men, but did you have a more so of a did it make you feel, you know, can't think of it, but what I'm basically trying to say is that towards any authority, did you feel, you know, inferior to authority? As if, like, I don't have to do what nobody say. Did it make you rebellious when it came to authority?
No, it didn't.
I just want to raise, because when you're raised by women, you know, of course you're going to have that that nurturing spirit towards women, but towards men, it didn't. And I just want to know why didn't that affect that, do you think?
I'm not sure, but it didn't. Mm-mm. No. I don't know. I just, from a man, I wouldn't resent of none of that, so it didn't really bother me like that.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Cox, for asking that question. Thank you also for joining us this evening. Thank you so much. Then we have Don Martini. Do you have any questions of Vernon?
No, I don't.
Okay, thank you. Quita, you good?
I'm loving the conversation. Hey, Jackie, one of my favorite people, my sweet baby. As Marvis and Jacqueline asked the question, you know, mm-hmm. I found myself thinking about my own situation with my dad. And, you know, you guys know who my daddy is, Sergeant Parks, keeping it real with Sergeant Parks. The one thing that I appreciate about him is that he doesn't run away from the past. And he doesn't run away from, you know, what he did or what he didn't do. But one of the things mm-hmm. that he always says is that I can't take credit either way for the good or the bad because I wasn't there.
Okay.
And so one of the things that has helped me, I didn't have resentment with him not being there for a long mm-hmm. time. But then one day it hit me and all these questions came flooding to me and I found myself treating him outside of my character. So I treated him in a hostile way, not disrespectful, but in a way of, I went from dad's coming to town, yippee, changing, you know, canceling everything on my schedule just to be mm-hmm. wherever he was to dad's coming to town. Oh, well, I'm not going. I'm not going over there. And I could not explain why I felt that way. But my stepmom said, you need to talk to him. And so I did. And he did not. What he did was he validated my feelings. And that meant a world of good for me. So I was able to move on past that. Now, if he would have started making some excuses, then it would have been more difficult for me. And that's from my standpoint as a woman. I know for my children, my ex-husband wasn't there. And my children have a relationship with him now. But they migrate to me. But one of the things that I did not do that a lot of women do is they talk bad about the dad. I didn't do that in front of my children. So they build a relationship with him, but they got to see him for themselves. And my son says, dad is reaping what he sowed 20 years ago. So he's not getting what I get. You know, I get to see the grandbabies. I get to spend time with them. We laugh, we have fun. He doesn't get that. Because they're not as comfortable with him because they remember. Now, they don't treat him disrespectfully, and if he were sick, they would be there for him, but they don't. But he is not a priority for them.
Okay.
So I understand. I understand Vernon's standpoint of it did not affect you because it sounds like he was able. He was out there. He did childish things. He got in trouble, and then he grew up. And when you grow up, you have to grow up and understand. So I got that. Mm-hmm. So great conversation. Great conversation. Thank you again, Vernon.
Yes.
So have you forgiven your father for not being there, or have you had that opportunity?
I have forgiven him.
Okay.
I have. Okay. Believe it or not, I have. I can't let that.
And you have to.
I can't.
You really have to move on.
Yeah. You have.
You
I can't.
Really have
I couldn't.
To.
Move, I can't move. I can't move another father if I. If I had that.
Mm-hmm.
If I hadn't forgiven him, it wouldn't allow me to move forward. But so I have forgiven him. I have.
Okay. And so, would you like to tell everybody where you can get your book, "My Life's Greatest Troubles, Part 1"?
Yes, it's on Amazon. I don't know what else we got, Laquita. I know it's on Amazon.
You can purchase the book off of Amazon, but please contact Vernon. You can reach Vernon through me. You can contact me. You can send a message, and I'll make sure that Vernon gets connected with you. We love Amazon. Mm-hmm. Amazon is an amazing platform, and it has enabled people to have their books on the platform. But listen, if you're going to purchase a book, purchase it from the author. Let them get all their money. So if you want to purchase a book from Vernon, you can now. It's available on ebook, so you can order. Mm-hmm. You can download it tonight. It's on ebook on. And it's also on Barnes & Noble. It's on Amazon. But you can also get a hard copy or a paper copy directly from him. And he can autograph it for you. So purchase it directly. And if you want to reach out, you can reach Vernon through PayProV Publishing. So, you know, purchase the book from him so he can get all his money.
Mm-hmm. And if you forget can't remember, you can always go to letsdoitradio@gmail.com. Again, that's letsdoitradio@gmail.com, and I can forward in the information on to Vernon and or to Ms. Laquita. So this is great. This is great information.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And you say each one teach one, each one reach one. I say
yes.
Each one reach one to teach one. That's what I. That's
Amen.
What I say.
I take all of that.
Yes, yes. So I do appreciate Vernon T. Smith for coming on to the my show. Ms. Inez says, let's talk about it, creating the narrative. And do you have anything else you'd like to say before we go to our next author, Vernon?
No, I just thank you for having me on the show, and just purchase a book and get ready for part two.
Yes. part two, as they say. Yes, 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 yes. And the next person we have is Don Martini. Salian? Or Martini, as he says. Let's have a
Salian.
Okay. we can have just a martini. Cut it short. And his book is A Life Worthy of Death. So A Life Worthy of Death just sounds, quote unquote, so morbid. But Dominique is an 8-year-old Haitian kid living a life filled with love, familial support, and adventure, growing up in a country gripped by severe poverty, desolation, as well as brutal dictatorship. Dominique still finds ways to experience the beauties of life. As he navigates the common challenges of adolescence, he must also overcome the greater barriers that awaits him in his future. With a budding puppy love, a mysterious dream that keeps showing him a vision he can't understand, and a government regime that is threatening to kill his father, will he have enough strength to endure? As we introduce Mr. Martini S. Sr. I'm not even going to try to, he can say his name so much better. As we give him a round of applause, put y'all's hands together, please, as we welcome him. Amen. Go ahead, Martini.
Thank you so much, Ms. Inez, and thank you, Laquita, for this opportunity. And I want to thank Brother Smith, too, for coming on. And as Brother Cox alluded, just having the vulnerability to share the details and the mm-hmm. nuances of his story, his life, and because that's something as black men, we aren't really encouraged much to do currently in the
right.
society that we live in, and really just in general, and that is being vulnerable and being open and being human
mm-hmm.
and sharing that vulnerability and seeing that as a strength rather than a weakness. And so I want to definitely shout out that brother there, and I look forward to hearing more about his accomplishments and supporting him as well. So, yes, my name is Don Martini Celine Sr. I am a senior. I have a junior. And I go by Martini. I go by Dom. And so my book, A Life Worthy of Death, as you gave us the blurb there, Ms. Inez, it chronicles, it's actually a realistic fiction. It's based on my life story. And so just to give you a backdrop, I'm not American by birth. I was born in the great island nation of Haiti. And I migrated here with my family, my mother, father, and my brother, my younger brother. I'm the oldest of five, in the late 80s. And so that would be Bush Senior's term, is the end, towards the end of his first term. And so it just chronicles my life as a young adolescent, a prepubescent boy, growing up in poverty-stricken Haiti and just complete desolation and as they call it, the poorest country on this side of the planet. And by poor, they're referring to their standards of poor. And so it's a story that follows this young boy, Dominique, life and trying, I guess, also from the perspective of a young black boy in the Caribbean islands or in the African diaspora
mm-hmm.
and what they experience. It comes across, there's so many, there's highs, there's lows, there's there's mystery. It's very, I don't know what kind of genre to put it in. It was challenging too for the queer to find a genre to put it in, but I guess just coming of age would be a good explanation of it. So, it's a part of a series. I'm scheduling 5 parts of it to come out. Part 2 will be out, I want to say June of this year, no later than July rather. And that's the bulk of the context of the story.
That was too short.
He is just really being modest. I want you to tell them what it is that you do. You're not just an author; you're a veteran. And the story, I mean, the stories in this the veterans book, Suited for Service, were amazing. And Marvis, I want you to talk about yours too when you come on. But the story when I read the story, now this is a series, so A Life Worthy of Death is just part one. That's part one. But what Dom has done, he has done a scavenger hunt. I want you to tell them why and what is it that you do, Dom, and what makes you different from regular folk who do what you do?
The first thing I don't like doing is toot my own horn. So as you can notice, Ms. McQueen
is. That's okay. This is the time for you to toot your horn. This is the time for you to toot your horn. You have permission to toot your horn.
I appreciate it. So I'm actually a veteran, yes, a 10-year combat veteran. I did serve 2 tours in Iraq, traveled the world over, and I completed my service in 2012. Shout out to my battle buddy on the call as well, Mr. Cox. I'm an educator. I've been an educator for the last 7 years. I teach English language arts or reading language arts. And so the love of reading, just books in general, I have this very odd, but I guess weird as well, addiction to books. Mm-hmm. I'd rather pick up a book than anything else. I know I get that from my father because he's been an educator now for the last 35 years almost, trying to get him to retire. But I don't know. It's in his blood, so it's in my blood as well. And I think he has over 7,000 books. In his home, he has a legitimate, like one of those. Yeah, he's got about. I lost count. I'm giving you a number that I think, and it probably is more than that. it really is. And so, the perspective or the thing about me when it comes to I guess literature is words mean a lot to me. I pick up a lot. I can read. I can hear what you're not saying when you're speaking, when someone's talking to me. I rather, and this is something, if this was a video chat, you would see it too as well. I don't really do too much eye contact when I talk to people because I'd rather hear what you're saying. I want to hear the words. Again, within the words, I'll either look away or I'll close my eyes a little bit because those words, they're energy. They're coming from somewhere, you know what I mean? And nothing happens in any human life without words, the exchange of words. And so with the story, it took me about 12 years to actually get it from a thought to, like, Aquita Park's company's motto to realization. And every 3 to 4 years, life would take me off track of completing the book, and then something would just nudge me back on, whether it be someone or a life event. And so 2022, December of 2022, the last day of the year, I gave myself a deadline to complete the book by 2021, by December of 2022, because it was just, I was like, okay, I need to get this thing done. I'm on the last chapter. I need to get this thing done. And I did, and I was so proud of myself. And one thing led to another, got connected, reconnected with Laquita, and now it's actually being sold everywhere that books are sold. I love all things reading. I love all things books. And this story here specifically, the reason why I decided to write it was there are a lot of stories out there, as there should be, of young girls, young brown and black girls, and their coming of age and the things that they have to deal with as girls and growing up with the challenges they face. But there aren't too many books about boys. And so I said, you know what, let me just go ahead and just write this book. And wherever it lands, it lands. And so far it's been doing really well. So, yeah.
And looking at Amazon, the reading age is from 12 to 18 years. And it's only 78 pages, so it's not real long. And it's grade level 5 to 12. And this was also just published as of March 3rd, 2023. So these are newly published stories and books and stuff. So you say you have other stories or other series. So can you tell us, like, you know, series, this might be series 1, series 2 is about another young boy, blah, 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 series 3. Or do you just want to wait until you get to that point to tell us about the series?
So the way the book ends, part one ends, I have no choice but to continue it as a series because I'm literally chronicling my entire life from birth up until now. And so the second one is going to start off with me actually migrating here to the U.S. The first one is just about me in Haiti and the different experiences that I had in Haiti and growing up in Haiti and growing up in, again, quote-unquote, the fourth country on this side of the planet. And I maintain, somebody was asking me this the other day, I forget who, but I maintain or try to maintain or retain, rather, let me say that, a lot of the Haitian culture or the Afrocentric cultural aspects or nuances in the books or the language. My first language is Creole or French Creole, as someone called
Creole.
It. That's in there as well. It's peppered, it's peppered in there along with the transliteration. Aspects of the culture, the cuisine, the food, the music, everything that you can think of, the African diasporic aspects of, you know, people living in different parts of the world that are of African, direct African descent is in the book. And so it's a book that adults can read it, but my target audience is, when I say adults can read it, adults can literally read it and enjoy and have the same experience at 8. Because we're, if you think about it, we're adults, but we're still, the inner child is still there. That never dies. You know what I mean? It could be silenced, quieted, but it never dies. So my target audience, the main target audience is youth. Specifically in middle grade, middle-aged youth or pubescent or prepubescent youth dealing with the changes that they have to go through in life. Yeah, just going through those natural hormonal changes, developmental changes, and seeing themselves in the story. So,
you know, so, when he says that, I'm sorry, Inez, when
no,
he says that the he maintains the culture, it was it was educational for me. Now, when I read the book the first time, I was like, okay, I got questions. I got questions. Now, is this – now, what happened? Now, are you going to – and so I'm like, no, wait. You're not stopping right there. I had completely – it had completely bypassed my mind that it was a series. And so as I was throwing those questions out, he was like, those questions will be answered in the – in the series. And I said,
okay.
I'm like, I had a lot of questions. I had a lot of suggestions for the direction of, you know, okay, this character, will they, you know, I was like, there seems to be something sinister seems to be going on with this person. Is that, and basically, as a publisher, he was like, you just have to read you just have to wait to get the rest of the story. So when he said, the language, it was educational because I got a chance to experience that. And so reading the book and you know, let me just say this, Inez. Sometimes so I'm the publisher, and sometimes people think, oh, you know, she has to say that. No, I don't. I 100% mean it. I am not a perfect person. But I genuinely care about the book projects that my clients do. I care about their projects. And I don't want to just publish their story. I want to help them find platforms to promote their stories. Now, we know it is not the job of the publisher to sell your book. That's the job of the author. But as a publisher, I go above and beyond because I believe that everybody has a story. And your story might look different from my story, but you have a story. And so when I work with people and they trust me, you know, taking their stories, a lot of publishers get there and they stop. That's it. You know what? But I feel like I have a vested interest. And I don't get paid any additional money. I don't get paid. And these men on here can tell you that. I don't get paid one single dime after I publish their books. I don't get any money for referring them to a platform like yours. I don't charge them anything to say, hey, you know, here's a platform here. I created platforms too so that they would have an opportunity to promote their books. So, you know, support them. Support what they do. And I'm going to say this and give it back to Dom, but there are 8 billion people on the planet. Out of the 8 billion people on the planet, only 1% will take the time to write their stories. They'll take pen to paper and they'll write their stories. But only a half of that percentage will take the additional steps and publish that story. So these men and any of the authors on this line, Jacqueline, myself, and we're multiple authors. Vernon's getting ready to be a multiple author. I've written and published 10 books of my own. So when you think about a half of a percent of 8 billion people, we are part of an exclusive organization. And it's amazing. So these 3 men they're doing the thing. They've written their stories. They are creating the narrative. They did it through their struggles and through their triumphs. So everybody can do it. So I'm so very excited. It looks like my energy kind of got up because I get excited talking about stories.
I know
all about stories. These 3 men, and there are so many other men that I've published with Paper V Publishing. These 3 men, I'm so excited for them and for all of the potential, because each one of their books, as you guys can already see, has the potential to go out, and you can teach from each one of their books. You can teach a lesson and do workshops and master classes from each one of their books. So I'm so excited.
Okay.
So congratulations again, Diane.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, that's amazing.
Thank you.
That's amazing. So, question, Martini. So, are you breaking this up into, like, okay, so you say from birth until this year, you had 8 years old, so then you go from 8 until 16, or do you have it broken up like that as a series?
I've actually broken it up into, I want to say, the major life changes or the major life redirections that occurred in my life. And so the biggest ones are me migrating here, me joining the military in 2003 for the first or the second Gulf War. Me going through a tumultuous and devastating divorce about 5 years ago. And so it's just those major, big, huge life events or experiences that I've gone through that I'm going to chop it up and frame it from that, you know, or section them off that way. Whatever age I am at in those points, that's fine. Of course, the names in the book and the character names have been changed. Some remain the same. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't change anything. And like Sabrina said, if you were an antagonist in my story, your name was going to stay there.
No,
I'm not changing it. You know what I mean? I'm going to keep your first name. I'm not going to, of course, you know, use your full government name, but your name's going to stay there because you were part of that. You were part of my life, my lived experience. So,
your life.
And it is my story. Right. So, yeah. But no, that's how I'm going to have it broken off to or broken off in this series. Like I said, the second one comes out. I'm intending it to come out in July, later in July.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. We're going to go around the board and see if anybody has any questions they'd like to ask of Mr. Don Martini. We have Ms. Cox. Do you have any questions of him? I'm unmuting you.
I don't have any questions, but I just want to say thank you for your service and great job on the book, and God bless you.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate that.
And the next is we have Pastor. I think it's Pastor Don is out there. Go ahead, Pastor Don.
Mic check. I'm sorry, I was on mute.
That's okay.
I'm enjoying the show. I'm texting my winning team. Mm-hmm. I'm Thomas. Come on, get in. The water's just fine. So I am here.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. And then we have the last four, 5167. They may just be listening as well. And if so, just let us know you're still just listening if you have any questions. Okay.
No,
just listening. All right. Thank you, fine, sir. Mm-hmm. And next we have 0469. If you have any questions or if you're just listening. Sorry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you for joining us this evening. And then we have Pastor Bennett. Do you have anything you'd like to say?
I just had one comment because I'm listening to all these great, great stories. And, I mean, when I say commendable, they're all very, very commendable. And I want them to know that I really do commend them for taking that step in authoring these books. I only wish that this was the beginning of a book club. Maybe we had an opportunity to read it first and then
get
on this call and discuss it. I certainly
we do have a book club. So we do have a book club.
Wow.
So
now that
you
is
can reach
awesome.
Out to Tapro V Publishing. So we do have a book club. So you do have an opportunity to purchase the book. And then we set dates, and it's virtual, so you can tune in. We just did one two Saturdays ago. Dr. Velma Bagby, The Catch No One Wants, was the book that we just finished reading. So we definitely could include any book that we want to, and we meet once a month to discuss. So we have an Atlanta hub.
That
so reach
is
out
totally
to me.
Awesome.
I'll be happy to.
I will do so because I am very interested in reading all of these books, and I'm especially interested in that first one. I don't know anything about Haiti, the second one, so I'd love to know the history, the culture, of the Haitians, how it was growing up there, what difference it made coming to the United States. In leaving there, are relatives still left there? Is there still a communication between, the person who's now in the U.S. and the family? Is their family left over in Haiti? And I just have a lot of questions, so I'm hoping all that's included in the book. I like suspense, and so I like to dig and research and just learn a lot, and I think I'm going to learn a lot through this. So this is great. Great job.
Thank you so much. And
Do you mind if I respond to that? To that last comment?
No, go,
to the individual that just made the last comment?
Yeah,
so
Bennett.
It's amazing that you even bring that up, because I was thinking about that as you were speaking, and that is part of the cultural context that I provide in the book, part one, is that I actually, and again, like I said, the story is loosely based on my life, my actual life and things that I've lived. I didn't know anything about racism or poverty or any kind of isms, let me say that, until I actually migrated here to the U.S. The one thing that I was, like, partially aware of, the one ism that I was partially aware of was classism. And it still exists today. So in Haiti, there's either you have or you don't have. There's no such thing as middle class. You either have it or you do not have it. That's one.
Wow.
You fall into one of those two categories. And the majority, unfortunately, fall into the do not have. As you know, and obviously the minority is the ones who have. But, yeah, I didn't. And I was, like I said, I was vaguely aware of that ism, the classism aspect of society. But outside of that, racism, being looked at differently because of the color of my skin, not having, quote-unquote, material wealth to sustain life was something unheard of, or I was completely oblivious to when I was living there. And until I got here, I realized, wait a minute, what is going on? What is happening right now? Why do people who look like me have the same, you know, kinky hair, and the same full lips, same broad noses, living, you know, almost like I was living back home? Like, wait, something's wrong here. So that awareness became, or as most people say, I became enlightened to that very, very unfortunate aspect of the American society. So, but yes, the second book, it chronicles all that. It goes in. The first book gives you a preview of it, but the second one will definitely dive in deep into that aspect. So.
Wow, that is awesome. Thank you so much. And do you still have family in Haiti, or has your family migrated here with you?
My immediate family, they are all here. My mother, father,
family.
Sisters. Yeah, extended family, they're still down there. So aunties, uncles, cousins, some of them are still down there. I keep very, very little communication because I don't know where and how to get in contact. But this year I'm planning on either reaching out to some of them so I can see how I can support, especially with what's been going on in the recent months, the government and everything, the turmoil. But I also plan on actually making a pilgrimage back there. I haven't been back since I left, and so, yeah, it's something I need to do.
Wow. Awesome. Well, I am interested in reading the second book then, because I'd like to hear how it all turns out. Thank you very much.
So, thank you, Pastor Bennett. And so why this title?
Oh, thank you so much, Ms. Anna. I don't know how it is that everything is just flowing exactly. So the title, I'm going to give you the exact scenario thing that was going on for me to create the title. So I want to say year five or year four of me teaching, I founded a whole grade level at this school in Atlanta. And the grade level, it was sixth grade, so the grade level chair, we were on Zoom. We were on a Zoom call for our grade level meeting. And it was him running the meeting, and then it was the rest of the sixth grade. I think it was maybe six of us. And we were doing this kind of getting to know you, speed dating, kind of gathering for us to know each other. It was set up like a speed date. We had questions lined up, and we would ask each other those questions, superficial as well as deeper questions. And one of the questions was, what is one of your greatest fears in life? And I ended up being in a breakout room on Zoom with my grade level chair and I want to say the special education teacher. And I'm the type of person, I don't really like speaking a lot. I rather listen. I have 2 years. That's why I have them. I rather listen more than I speak. And they shared their fears. One said, my greatest fear is I raised my kids to be the best, better than, or I don't remember what it was, but they shared their fears. And so I sat there and I listened to their fears, and then it was my turn to share mine. I paused for a second, and I thought about it, and I said, my greatest fear is that I didn't live a life that was worthy of death. And they paused. They just sat there, and they were looking at me. And I went in. I elaborated. I said, everyone, I understand the meaning behind grieving when you lose a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it 100%. I honor those who have lost loved ones and the impact they've made in their lives and just the natural response that we have as humans to cry and just feel that hurt, that deep, you know, a sense of loss within our hearts. For me, I don't really want people to cry over me more
then celebrate me when I go, when I transition. I really honestly don't want people to talk to me at all. I rather mm-hmm. you celebrate me. I rather you pour libations. I rather you have parties, have family come together. Just, you know, talk about the ways I've impacted you, the things that I've done. Don't cry for me. Like, if you do, that's fine. It's a natural response. I get it. But I'd rather you celebrate me more. I'd rather you uplift, mm-hmm. again, the things that I've, the ways that I've changed your life in a positive way, the things that, mm-hmm. whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so that's where the title literally came from. I'd rather live a life that's worthy of that. So, yeah.
Nice. And we have one other person who has joined us, William Day. He just joined us just recently. I don't know if you heard anything of the story of this gentleman, but you can go ahead and greet us. And if you have any questions of Martini, you can go ahead and ask them.
Absolutely. Good evening, Ms. Inez. Good evening, everybody on the show tonight. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely wanted to reach out, Mr. Martini. Can I get your information? I wanted to say that before I introduce myself. My name is William J. I go by Guidance or Original Guidance. I'm the CEO and founder of For the Future. We're a nonprofit entity that brings communities together by bringing fathers closer to sons and mothers closer to daughters. I'm very sympathetic to your cause and definitely understand what you're doing, as I have a similar goal. I see what's missing in our demographic and in our families and in our homes and really all over the world today, and I see that there's an important need for guidance. There's an important need for someone to give these youth a stepping stone for the future. Currently, I do have a few events on the docket. I would definitely love to get your email information so I can send some more over. I don't want to take too much time in on the show, but I definitely want to hear more about the book, more about your experiences, and more about what led you to this path. I'm very intrigued, sir. And it is a pleasure to meet you.
And I will get that information to you so you guys can exchange. So I will do that.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Ms. Anna.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I appreciate you, kind sir. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for listening. And yeah, I'm excited as well, man, to share that.
Mm-hmm. And last but not least, we have Vernon Smith. I didn't know if he had any questions that he wanted to ask you, Martin.
No, I don't have any.
Okay. William Day, you didn't hear. I don't think you heard Mr. Vernon Smith's story, but his was about his missing father that just walked out of his life and just kind of never came back.
Oh, ma'am, I did not.
Reconnected. Go ahead.
No, ma'am, I did not, but I'm definitely here and curious to hear more.
Okay. So I'll get you in contact with him as well. But his story is out there as well, and I'll get you that information as well. Thank you. So we want to thank Mr. You have anything else you want to say, Martin?
No, I appreciate you. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me? Oh, okay, awesome.
Yes.
So, I just want to thank you. I want to thank all your listeners for tuning in. I want to thank Laquita again for allowing this dream to become a reality for me. And mm-hmm. you can, if you would like to purchase the book, it's on my website. Like we just said, you can find it anywhere that books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, et cetera. But it's on my website, and it's strategically on my website for a very, very, very cost-effective price. The website is www.shaken, all one word, shakennotstirred09.com. Again, that's www.shakennotstirred09.com.
shakennotstirred09.com.
.com, yep, that's correct.
All right, thank you. And I'll get that out
to
everybody as well. You're welcome. And this is worldwide we do have worldwide listeners out there. So any of you who have tuned in, and this is going all over the world, I want you all to know that we have listeners from everywhere. And we'll talk about that after we hear from our next author, Mr. Marvis Cox. And he's going to be coming to us. First, I'm going to give a hand clap applause to my team. And this next gentleman, let me see where we are. Let me get my life straight, because I'm doing on two different places. So I'm gonna go to him, and his is My Box of Chocolates, and his name is Marvis Cox, M-A-R-V-I-S Cox, and it says, I stayed in that one spot for at least an hour, thinking, I just died and came back to life. Wow. My eyes were bloodshot red, and I had a headache out of this world. I could feel the water inside my brain when I shook my head. If it wasn't water inside my brain, it sure felt like it. Grandma always gave it real when it came to life. She always said, you make your bed, you lay in it. This took some time before I understood what that meant, but Lord, behold, that would change. My Box of Chocolates is a book of random memoirs from a childhood to adult. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Forrest Gump. We'd like to welcome Marvis Cox as we give him a round of applause.
Right. Thank you all.
Take the mic. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you all so much for having me. Thank you, Ms. Laquita. I hope you feel better. And thanks for everyone showing up and giving that piece of the puzzle. My name is Marvis Cox. I am a military combat veteran as well. Just 4 months. 4 months shy of 10 years. And retired military now, you know, due to injuries from overseas. But yeah, this book, My Box of Chocolates, is, you know, it basically was stories, you know, real life, you know, true stories, you know, and different scenarios and things that I was dealing with, and that I still deal with today, you know. And just basically being able to go ahead and put them on paper and share my story. So we're here. Kind of figured it might have been a possibility that other people in the world may have shared the same experiences as myself. So I just wanted to go ahead and find out. it was a challenge that me and my wife actually did. And get to this point of even doing these things with books. A 24-day or... 27-day challenge to become an author about some things in your own book. And this website, they, you know, they gave you this challenge, and then, you know, it's supposed to be like writing poems and things like that, but I wanted to go ahead and take it to another step just to see how it would turn out and how well I would do, or what type of improvements that I would need, and, you know, coming out with the next book and so on and so forth, you know, what do I need to step my game up on compared to the one that I did before. Born and raised in Chicago, Illinois. Married with five beautiful kids, and retired military. You know, steady fighting a good fight every day to get better and better as life, you know, gives us daily challenges. So, what else is there? My next book. The next book that I, you know, plan on coming out with to give or to come out with, God say the same, hopefully I'll be done before the middle of this month, you know, and God say the same, hopefully Ms. Queen is ready for this challenge, you know. But I got majority of it done, Ms. Quito, so it's not going to be bad at all. I guarantee you. But this book, I wanted this book to be like somewhat of a masterpiece about things, you know. It's taken a lot of my experiences from overseas and military experiences and different missions and things like that that I've never really told anyone because, you know, we was told a long time, you know, we couldn't talk about the things that that actually went on over there about some things, you know, because you never want to screw yourself and get into trouble about some things. You kept things under wraps and kept things unprofessional. So now, you know, it's been, what, almost, I don't know, what, 15 years? Well, 11 years or something like that I've been out the service. I want to say it's something like that. But anyways, you know, these stories that I'm able to go ahead and put on paper, you know, they help me to cope with things and be able to go ahead and cope with life. Because it allows me to go ahead and put these things down on paper so I won't have to deal with them anymore, you know, on a daily basis. So the title of that book is called Death is a Release and Pain is Forever. So hopefully, I'll be done by the middle of the month. Be ready to go ahead and put that thing out there to see how the viewers critique and what people are going to say about it. But I believe it's definitely going to be a great masterpiece.
Okay.
That's my story.
You know, these men are just so modest. Yes, they are just so modest. And I know Jacqueline Cox can talk about that's her husband, honey. That's her husband. And I have never seen such a beautiful couple who support each other. You talk about ride or die. Jacqueline, ride or die. But, you know, when I wanted to say, when I met Marvis through Jacqueline, and I met Jacqueline through social media, when out of the clear blue sky, she just sent me her book and asked me if I could read it and do a review. And I said, of course, I didn't know her from a can of paint. She didn't know me. And I said, I said, sure. I said, what do you want me to do with the review? And she said, can you post a review on your page? And I told her, no. I said, I can post a review on Amazon, but I can't post it on my page because I only post reviews of people that I publish. And so she understood that. And then she came back with, can you read my husband's book too? And I said, of course. And it's been a beautiful situation ever since. But when I got a hold of Marvis's first book, when, you know, the finished product, the first finished product, when I was putting books for pay-per-view publishing, authors have an opportunity to put their books in a library. And so they're in multiple libraries. And so I said, okay, I opened it up to friends of pay-per-view publishing, and I had their books had already been published, and I had not. But I opened it up to them, and when the book came, I was disappointed by some of the quality of the book. People can write, everybody can write, and you can self-publish. But, you know, I just want to just say this quickly. If you're self-publishing, make sure that you have somebody looking at it for you. Make sure that you have somebody who's doing the editing. Make sure that your formatting is done correctly. Make sure that the spacing, all of those things matter. And when Jacqueline asked me, she said, what does my husband's book look like? And I said, it's a mess. I said, it looks like one long paragraph. And Marvin said, just forget it. He was like ready to scrap the whole thing. Just forget it. And I was like, no, we can fix it. We can fix it. And so I had the opportunity, and I consider it an honor to be able to take, as Jacqueline says, take their mess and make it blessed. To redo it, we redid the cover, we did the formatting, the editing, and we, you know, we got it out. And it's a beautiful book. My Box of Chocolates is a story of just different stories, and it's beautiful. But I want to talk about the unknown battlefields. Marvis's story, every book that when there is a compilation book, and I do these veterans projects, and the money goes to the VFW. But every book, every story has a heart. And Marvis's story in Unknown Battlefields is the heart of the story. And I didn't know a whole lot of things, but when one of the other authors who Marvis introduced, Brandon Darrington, he spoke when we were on a different platform about Marvis and how, and Marvis is a hero, and he doesn't talk about it, and he's very, very humble, but he is a hero, and I didn't know that, but I knew that his story, the heart of his story. So take a moment and purchase a copy of Unknown Battlefields. It's a compilation book. It has Marvis's story in there. It has Dom's story in there. Take a moment and purchase the book and read these guys' story and see the heart of what they've gone through in battle. And you will get even more. You will just connect with them even more. And Marvis is so humble. He's a strong background with his wife. He supports her in everything. And I'm just so grateful. And Marvis, I look forward to book number three. I look forward to it. And I'm just so proud of all of you guys. I'm so proud of what you're doing and what you do for your communities. And I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy. You've seen a lot. You've gone through a lot. And you got the battle wars to prove it. So, you know, toot your own horn. Don Martini, toot your own horn. Vernon, toot your own horn. There's nothing wrong with it. You guys are amazing. You have done what a lot of people will never do. You've done what some want to do and don't think they can. You've proven that you can do it. And you guys got lives and you guys got struggles and you created the narrative in the midst of your own trials, tribulations, and struggles. So I'm very, very proud of you. So, again, congratulations, Marvis.
Thank you so much. And thank you for helping me fix that mess of a book that I had. It really meant a lot because it was something else. But I won't bash the other company about anything with the people that we dealt with before, you know. But I definitely thank God that Miss Laquita became a part of our lives about some things so we can get some things, you know, taken care of the correct way and also gaining a mutual friend and things like that as well. She's a very kind-hearted, giving young lady, and we just appreciate
it.
It was a pleasure.
My pleasure. Mm-hmm. So we are going to go to Miss Jacqueline and let her talk about her husband and the book, A Box of Chocolates, if you don't mind speaking about the book, Miss Jacqueline.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, I don't mind speaking about my box of chocolate. I never mind speaking about Mr. Cockton. Let me tell you something about my box of chocolate. That's my box of chocolate, okay? No.
Okay.
I'll do it. Never ask.
Yeah, she's not proud. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Me? No, seriously, I love Miss Cox, honey, with every bone in my body. But speaking about the book, My Box of Chocolates, from beginning to end about the book was all him. We went through, I'm going to let Linda talk for a minute, my alter ego. What I will say is that we went through Bookly. Because Mr. Cox don't like bashing nobody, but that's what he got Mrs. Cox for. We went through Bookly, where, okay, for everybody who's listening, we went through Bookly, and we did pay for editing and, you know, formatting and everything, and they took our money and they published the book unedited. And so when they did it, it was just a whole crappy experience. And so when Miss Quinton said, oh, no, this is a mess, when Mama Quinton told me, oh, no, this is a mess, I said, well, you got to fix it. So what we going to do? And so she said, excuse me. But she went ahead on and fixed it. But, you know, and basically the reason why I love my box of chocolates so much is because not only does it speak on, it taps into what he went through in the war. It also taps into his life before the war, you know, dealing with not having his father around and his mom raising him and his grandmother and becoming a young father of his, you know, becoming a young father and taking that step to go to the military and dodge, you know, different things going on in on the west side of Chicago in the early 90s and early 2000s to escape that lifestyle and to be able to create, you know, a different life for his child and his children to come. But it also kind of briefly gives you that introduction into the Army that he went through. So once we got to, he got done telling that story, we all he also did the anthology with Laquita. He was, you know, invited to do that, and he elaborated a little bit more with his chapter in the book Unknown Battlefields called Death, Surgery, Release, Pain, and Spavor. And with that one, I love that one because that one really takes you in kind of in depth a little more about his time in the service without giving too much, because you guys definitely want to get this book. And like Miss Mama Cleaver said, he is definitely modest, Miss Inez. So I'm going to go ahead and speak on my He is a war hero. Okay, he saved a lot of lives overseas, a lot. Over 60% of the people that came home was because of my husband. And
okay, stop right there. Stop right there. No, stop right there. You're going to do this. Here we go. Here we go.
You better come through.
Hey, I'll say one more time. Do it one more time for the people in the back.
One more again. Come on.
So, yes, he did three tours.
Amen.
He saved over 60% of his platoon. They came that were under him survived because of him. Okay, and no, he don't get the credit that he deserves from the country. But guess what? He sure do get it with his family, with the Cox family, with the Stringers, with the Wards, with the Haywoods, and also Mama Pat is on the line. Her number is 0469. That is his mother, the most beautiful gospel singer you ever hear in her life. She's on the line as well. And she raised these men. She raised him and his brother Jeff to be extraordinary men. You know, that is that's my Boaz. I'm Ruth, and that's his mama, okay? I mean, that's his auntie, okay? And that is my mother-in-law, and I will say that our foundation wouldn't be what it is if it wasn't for my husband and for God dwelling inside of him and him being a man of God that he is, that he let God use him as a vessel to not just bring those soldiers home, but to bring that wisdom that he gained there into the household and use that in the word to be able to create this foundation that we have here and bring me in, and then we, you know, we come together as a whole and we teach our children the word. We put the word and we put God in everything we do. And that's the reason why we are like we are today, and our children as well, who are future authors for Paper Will Be Published. And we got one doing the anthology, and we have one coming out with his own book. So Creta has an anthology that's coming out called My Neighbors Don't Look Like Me. My six-year-old is participating in that. And my 12-year-old has a book that's coming out with Paper Will Be Publishing very, very soon called The Honorable B. So we train our children up in the way they should go, and they'll never part from it. But everything that we do and we believe comes through God, through my husband. So, yes, he's very modest, but I am not. If he don't want to toot the horn, Linda would definitely toot it for him, honey.
Amen. That's all right in my book. That is all right in my book. No, and I thank you for your service, Mr. Marvis Cox. My father served in the Air Force, and he did a tour in Da Nang. That was 100 years ago, but he's passed on since then. But Hey, I just applaud, and I'm gonna give you applause. Here we go again. Yes, I'm doing it again. To all of our soldiers who keep us safe. Yes, who keep us safe and who just, you know, gave their life so selflessly, you know, because if it wasn't for them, some of us wouldn't be. So I humbly bow to you and to all the servicemen and to Ms. Laquita for doing the book, because, you know, a lot of times they don't get, like you say, their due respect that they're due, you know, and a lot of these, it just makes me sick, because I don't think that the DA really treats our men and our soldiers right properly. I really don't. But that's another story for another day. But I don't know if I want to say Mama Cox, is that who it is? Is out there? She'd like to say anything about Marvis?
She on the line.
Your mic is not. Yes, I've unmuted her, so if she wants to say anything, she's more than welcome to. And she may still be muted and think that she's not on her phone. But we can always come back to her. That's not a problem. But I'm going to go ahead and, let's see, 4853. If you'd like to say anything to what rank were you, so we can call you your right rank besides officer, Marvis.
Sergeant
Marvis. We have 4853 who has joined us this evening. If they'd like to say anything to you about your book, you're more than welcome to do so at this time. 4853.
How you doing, Doc? Hey, Sarge. No, good. I don't have anything to say. I just basically just chimed in, so
right.
I don't know the topic or anything.
The topic is basically creating the narrative, and we have three black male authors who have authored books, and they're telling their stories and basically giving us some tidbits and some teasers about their books so that we can go out and purchase them. So we had Sergeant Cox on the line his wife really is the one who pumped him up and talked about his book, but that's who we have on the line. We were talking about right now. And his book is called My Box of Chocolates. So that's what his book is, getting ready to put out another book. So coming up real soon. So that's what we're talking about, is creating the narrative. And it's been a very, very, very interesting evening. So you're going to have to go back and listen to this, what you missed before. So but we can talk about that again. But thank you. That's Brother Eddie, as I call him, Brother Eddie. So he's out of the South Carolina area who's joined us. So we have people all over the United States who have joined us and who have tuned in, besides all over the worldwide listening audience. So thank you to every one of you for joining us. So we have William J. Would you like to say anything to Sergeant Cox?
Yes, I would definitely like to say thank you for your service, sir. I have family that served as well as myself. I want to say thank you for your perspective and your book. Everything that you've been through to create this journey has definitely been a worthy cause. I would also like to extend an invite to my end-of-the-year event, as I will be to all three of you gentlemen. When I get your information, I'll send over a little bit more details. But I'm very anxious to learn more about what you're going through, as I've been through similar struggles, and I definitely focus on the community as well. So, again, blessings, and thank you all for your perspective, and keep going. The mission is needed. Keep going.
Amen. Thank you, William J. Thank you. And we have Pastor Betty again joining us out of Little Rock, Arkansas.
Amen. I just want to say that I have nothing but accolades and admiration for all of you, especially to the sergeant for being able to write about the events that he's encountered and what he's gone through. That is actually deliverance in the greatest sense. And to be able to do that is like reliving it. So it took a strong person to do that. So, again, I have nothing but just accolades and admiration for you and for your wife working along beside you. And I'm thankful to the publisher, amen, for stepping in, helping out, getting it published, getting the word out. I'd like to say you've done a fantastic job with the three of these. And I envision that we will be hearing more and more from you in the days to come regarding other books that you have helped to publish. But I look forward to reading all three of these. So thank you all very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You guys can find out more information about Paper V Publishing at paperovpublishing.com, paprovipublishing.com. And you can leave a message and engage with me there and see if we can help you take your stories from a thought to a realization. Also, before you get that you finish, Inez, I do want to say to the veterans who are on the phone, or if you have family members who are veterans, and please have them reach out to me to participate in our veterans projects. The next veterans project is called The War Within. And the veterans can submit their stories just like Dom and Marvis have, and there's no cost. And the proceeds are donated to the VFW. So reach out to me if you're interested in submitting a story. It is truly, writing is truly therapeutic. It's your story. You tell what you want to tell. I know Marvis mentioned that you can't say certain things. You're bound by secrecy, but you can tell those parts of your story that's your story to tell. And you can tell it in a way that you won't be, it will be well done and your story will be told in the way that you tell it. So let me know, reach out if you're interested in being a part, or if someone you know is a veteran and they're interested in being a part of it. This will be book three.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Thank you, my name.
All right, thank you. And Pastor Don, do you have anything you'd like to say? He's probably tending to his children. Thank you. And let me see what anybody else. Jacqueline and Mr. Martini. I'm just going to call you Mr. Martini. That just sounds so good. You have anything you'd like to say to Marvis, Sergeant Marvis Cox?
Yes, I actually do. Brother Cox, Battle Buddy, I every time I get on any platform and you're on it, man, I can't, again, begin to express my appreciation for you. I don't know anyone that inspires me as much as you do when it comes to this craft of authorship. And so shout out to you, shout out to all your endeavors with you and your family. I can't wait to see where else this takes you, man. So like I said, I appreciate you. I'm really proud of you, man. And hoo.
Ooh. All right, now. Thank you. Let me see who else is out there. Vernon, would you like to say anything, or are you good?
I'm good, but I just want to say thank you for your service.
Thank you. So I'm going to come back around, and since we do have a publisher on the phone, I just want to go around and ask people. If you had a book to write, what would the title be? Is it going to start with 0469? I think that's the mother of Sergeant Cox. Is she there? Okay. And then we have Pastor Betty, if you had a book to write, what would the title be? I'm just putting you on the spot right now. Pastor Betty?
Oh, I am so sorry. I stepped away for a second. I'm sorry. Can you repeat what statement was?
Yes. If you had a book, if you had a story to write, what would the name of your book be?
That is a pretty interesting question, Sister Inez. my book would be called Living in the Shadow.
Okay. You heard that, LaQuita. So look forward to her manuscript. I'm just kidding.
Love it. Living in the Shadow.
For real.
I love that. You can go 1,000 different places with that.
Amen.
Yes,
and that's where it goes. Mm-hmm. 1,000 different places. That would be my book. So, Sister Inez, what would your book be? I'm sorry, I didn't hear yours.
No, not yet, and then I'll do it after. But also tell the worldwide listening audience who you are.
Oh, sure. My name is Betty Bennett. My husband is Apostle Chris Bennett, and we pastor at a ministry called Harvest World Ministries International in Little Rock, Arkansas. We have several disciples. We don't have members. We have disciples. And we endeavor to do the whole will of God, and that is to mend and to heal, deliver, set free, whether it be physical, spiritually, emotionally, whether it be across age groups. It doesn't matter. Whatever the need is, we're about trying to meet the need of the whole man holistically. And so everything I've heard tonight, amen, certainly speaks to the masses regarding what is going on in our world today. And we're all about kingdom building. What you're releasing right now is going to set a lot of people free. What you've written, what I've heard about,
yeah.
Is going to minister to a lot of young people, middle age, elderly people, rich, poor, all over the world. And so you all are really, really at the right time and the right moment for what you're doing. And that's why I said I have nothing but just admiration for what you're doing in this season, because this is the time to do it. And so I'm just grateful to God to be on this call, grateful to Sister Inez for inviting me. I don't know the publisher's name, but grateful to her for helping you all accomplish this task, and grateful for all you've done. You may not have realized at the time that you went through these periods in your life that you would be writing a book later that would deliver others, but God knew, and these books are going to set a lot of people free. And that's what I'm most excited about, what we're all about. So if you're ever in the Little Rock area, please give us a call. Look us up, Harvest World Ministries International, Apostle Chris Bennett, and I'm Pastor Betty Bennett. Thank you.
Go back. Thank you. 5167, if you have anything you'd like to say. If you want to, you don't have to. If you had a book to write, what would the name of the book be, or the title of the book? It's 5167.
Actually, I'm working on one. It's called Law of Activation. And I love the title because what happens is it tells us what we can expect based on what we know. And so, you know, we already know the promises of God. We already know those things. And if we do this, he'll do that. Since he can't lie, then we can pretty much design our lives by the words that we speak. And so a lot of times we'll live in a world of doubt where we seem hopeless when all we have to do is speak those words. And once we speak the words works. The word does what it's supposed to do. And so the law of activation tells me that if I do this, God will do that. No if, no ands, or buts, because it's a part of his promises. And so it's just giving hope to where we have just let doubt grow, you know. I mean, the law of the seed, real simple. I mean, and it's part of the law of activation. If we put it on some concrete, it's not going to grow. But if we put it in soil and add water, we don't have to pray for it. It's going to do what it's supposed to do, you know, because of the design, the obedience, what it does, the harvest is inside of the word or inside of that. So we activate it by doing what it needs. And so that's what it would be, the law of activation.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for expounding on the book that you're going to be writing. You heard that, Laquita. So, Hey Pro V Publishing
is
looking
too.
For you. All right. Thank you, fine sir. Thank you. Pastor Don, do you have a book, if you had a book, I should say, that you were going to be writing, what would the name of the book be?
My book is The Green Dragon Wrecking Blueprint. I've been selling it for the last 8 years, and it's about getting in the entertainment industry, making it happen with no money, and it works. So that's my book is out there.
And say the name of it again, please.
The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint.
Okay.
It teaches you everything you need to know how to get started in the music industry.
Okay. Thank you, fine sir. And
yes,
then
ma'am.
We have, you're welcome. Then we have Miss Jacqueline. Oh, do you have a book, Miss Jacqueline?
Do I have a book?
Oh, my goodness.
Do I have a book?
Did I say,
actually,
how many books do you have? Go ahead.
Well, my book is entitled It Can't Always Be Night, Poetic Memoirs of a Troubled Grown Girl, and that's through Pay-Per-V Publishing. I also have a book that I'm working on, the anthology with visionary Chanel Coleman-Wesley called She Said Yes Herself Unapologetically. And that one will be coming out real soon. But I'm actually working on my loosely based memoir, and that one is called Mountains Can't Rise Without Earthquakes.
Oh, okay.
So that one should be coming out very soon. Just ask Quita about it. She got the date.
Okay.
I just got the word.
Okay. We got libraries.
Shameless plug. My 6-year-old Shameless plug. My 6-year-old's book going to be in Laquita's anthology, and that one is entitled really quick because I know we got to go. That one is entitled. I want to make sure I get it correct now. Now, it's in the anthology, My Neighbors Don't Look Like Me. But the book is, and he wrote this one with his dad, and it's entitled My Superpowers Are Not Weird by Marvis Cox Jr. and co-written by Marvis Cox Sr. And my oldest son, Jaden Smith Cox, his book is entitled The Honorable Bee. My 6-year-old is Marvis Cox Jr. My 12-year-old is Jaden Smith Cox. And they have their own clothing line called Young Saved Leaders, just to let you know. You know, just
all right.
Y'all say
I can
do
this,
so I'm going to go into it.
Yeah, this is a family business. I'm so excited with these young people. And again, here, there's nothing shameless about your plug, okay? Also on the call, and for the listeners, if you have children, this is an opportunity. Submit your children's stories to PayProV Publishing, and they will become published authors. They have something, you know, we are creating the narrative. We're creating the narrative. There is something for everybody, and there is, if you're a veteran, there is no cost to submit your story to our veterans book. If you are, if you have a child, there is no cost to submit your child's creative writings. You know, everybody like their little baby's writings. Submit those stories, and your children become published authors. Help them to create that legacy, and this is something they can look back on and make passive income from it. Y'all know y'all like y'all baby's names in writing. So submit those stories. So.
Okay, good. Okay, Pastor Betty, she asked me what the name of my book would be, and mine is Everybody Has a Story and Everybody Has a Story. That's my book, and I'm sticking to it. Mr. Quita,
you didn't ask me.
I was getting ready to come to you. I was getting ready to say Miss Laquita. Did you hear me not just say Miss Laquita?
I did. I'm sorry.
See, they're jumping in before I could even. I see how you are. She has books, Walking Limitations, as well as other published books, and so I'm going to let her toot her horn and tell us about the books that she has published, Miss Laquita. I know she's feeling better now, so go ahead.
Yes, thank you to my daughter who had some medicine sent shit delivered to my house, so I'm grateful. I am feeling better. I have written and published 10 of my own books, including two children's books. The second book that's coming out is called Ouch, Lies Hurt, and we can add songwriter to that list, because for Ouch, Lies Hurt, I wrote a song to accompany the book. So that's a children's book. So it's on pre-order, pre-sale now, but you get a sing-along. So you're teaching your children. The idea of this book is to teach children and adults too, because adults didn't get the lesson. Some of them didn't. Lies really hurt. Just ouch, just like ouch. Pain, ouch, I stomped my toe, ouch. I touched the stove, ouch. I burned my finger, ouch. I tripped, ouch. I broke, whatever makes you say ouch, we want the young people to know, ouch, lies hurt. Lies really hurt, and they make people cry. So that's the premise of that book. But Walking Limitations, by Other People's Definition, is my first book, and it's the true story. It's my true story of medical childhood trauma at the hands of a nurse. When I was 4 years old, I went into Grady Memorial Hospital here in Atlanta to have my tonsils removed. Tonsillectomy was a success. After the tonsillectomy, a nurse came into my room that night and jabbed me in the side with a needle. That started, they took me, it caused the bone to, the leg to swell. And they told my mom that if they did not get me into the OR to amputate my leg, that it would burst and I would die. They found that they could take the bone out to relieve the pressure, but they told my mom that I would never walk again. I had 15 surgeries on my right leg, but that one shot, that one jab to my thigh caused a medical tsunami for me that has not yet ended. And I don't know a day without pain in the last 49 years of my life. Every single day is pain. And some people don't understand what that means. It's more than I just broke my finger, more than I broke my arm or my leg. It's
more
pain every single day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There is no relief from my pain. So pay-per-view publishing is, it gives me an outlet. It gives me a way to not focus on my pain, because I believe that we become what we focus on. So I'm a no-excuses kind of person. I deal with a lot on a daily basis, going to bed at night in pain, waking up in pain. I have to go through a cooling down, a warming up process at night, because my leg gets so cold that it feels like a pack of chicken you've taken out of the deep freezer. So that's my story, and I just want people to understand that you don't have to look like what you've been through. because I don't
Amen.
Look like what I'm going through. And it's because I make the choice every day. So sometimes it's difficult, but I make the choice every day to do something. And my doing something is to use the gifts that God has already equipped me with to do those things that He needs me to do. I can't use my pain as an excuse to be mean and to be ugly to people. That's not my story. It could be, but I chose differently. So my story, this is, you know, being able to help people take their stories from a thought to a realization is a pleasure. And these people that are on the phone now, Jacqueline and Sergeant Marvis Cox and Don Martinez, Celine and Vernon Smith, these are just a couple of the people that I have seen write their stories, and I've seen their lives change. I've seen breakthroughs. I've seen grown men cry, both nationally and internationally. So if I was writing another book, and I am, it's part two of my life story. It's the rest of the story up to now, and that book is it's Walking Limitations, but it's my pain, my progress, my victory story. Because without pain, there's no progress. Without progress, there can be no victory. And you know what? That's my story, y'all, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. Good. That's great.
Okay. Anybody want to comment? Amen. All the lines are open. So if anybody would like to comment, your line is open. Okay. I think Pastor Betty's still out there. Yes, she's still out there. So,
I was trying to get my phone off mute.
Go ahead.
As I was listening to, is it Miss Laquita?
Laquita. Laquita.
As I was listening to her, I was like, wow, you could write my book. I commend her for what she is doing. And as I stated earlier, all of us, and like you said, Susanna, all of us have a story to tell. And once we tell those stories and once we get them out of our head and onto pages, whether it's in a book or whether it's in a journal, you know, once we get those things out, oftentimes they bring about such great deliverance and such great progress and such great victories, as you have so eloquently said, Sister Laquita. That type of thing, what you're doing is truly bringing about a change in others' lives that you won't even know about, that you will touch, that the authors will touch through these books, your books. What you're going through, the progress you're making, what you're writing about, is going to change lives all over the world and in generations that will come, you know, hundreds of years later. Those books will still be out there. Those words will still be out there. People will still be seeking answers. They'll still be seeking for ways to make it through and to show forth progress in their lives. So know that what you all are doing is ordained. It's not just gifted; it's ordained, and it has become an assignment that you know some of these things are they're to happen. They are to happen. Continue the good work that you're doing. All of you continue the good work that you're doing. Everyone on here who's an author, everyone who's whether you're a pastor, whether you're a radio host, whether you're whatever you're doing, continue it, because whether you know it or not, it's helping someone, and that's what this world needs right now. It needs help, and they can only get that help that is out there for them. These books are not accessible to a lot of people right now. None of these books. And the enemy tries to tell us that if we put it in a book, people won't read it. They may not read it, but it doesn't keep us from reading it and then sharing it with them. Of course, giving the authors, you know, credit for what they have written and what they have gone through so that others can live a life that's free and more fulfilling. So keep doing what you're doing. And keep living every day and keep writing. Just keep writing. And that's my advice to you, because what you're doing is a great work. It is a really great work.
Thank you.
You may not think much of it, but you know what? Someone else does.
Mm-hmm.
And someone much greater than that has gifted you all to do what you're doing. I literally have to say I thank God for you and what you all are doing. God bless you.
Thank you, thank you,
thank
you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anybody else care to say anything?
I want to say something. Y'all know I want to say something. That's what I do. I thought. But I just want to say thank you, Ms. Inez, and you, Mama Quita, for creating this platform, because you know what? The men do not, especially the black men of our community and of our families, the women are always put on the pedestal. They're always the ones that get all the applause, you know. But there are great fathers out here. There are great men out here, and they are they used to be at the forefront of the community and the pillars of the community. But now it's become something so profound, and to be able to see men doing what they've done back in since the beginning of time, up until maybe like the late 70s, early 80s, when things changed, when, you know, drugs were brought into the country and just shattered our homes, and the welfare system just shattered our homes, where now any small thing that men do, they are over, you know, applauded for. So what I want to do is that I want to say to the three men that are on the platform, especially mine, thank you guys so much, because what you're doing is not just the minimum, going to work, taking care of your kids. We know you guys do that, and you do it eloquently, but you do it without fathers for the ones who did it, because you got one who's on the platform who wasn't raised by his dad, then you got one that's on the platform that was in the war, and my husband went through both. For you, you three men to be on here and be such heroes and went above and beyond what men do these days, and they get so much credit just for the minimum, for you guys to do the maximum, you know, it just speaks volumes of what real men are, and you guys are that and more. So thank you guys. Thank you guys for creating the platform for them to be able to speak their truth. And I just appreciate you women and God to be able to even allow them that, because they don't get that these days. Every time you look around, you see a woman. You don't see the man. They silence the man. And for you guys to create something so wonderful, to give them that voice, it just means a lot to me and to my children and my boys. You know, so thank you guys for that.
Thank you. Thank you. As I said earlier, I was thinking about having like a barbershop talk night, you know, where men just come and just talk barbershop, you know, as if you were in a barbershop, and they just, you know, I just have the platform open and what have you, and if they need to talk, come together, get whatever's on their chest off, or just have somewhere to come and meet and greet and what have you. And safe space, of course, you know, you don't allow no cussing and carrying on and all that stuff. So if you start cussing, you get muted. So that's just how that goes. But if y'all ever want to just do that and just, you know, talk about things and get it off your chest, as use this as a platform, you're more than welcome to do so. So just letting you know that that's available for you. So anybody else care to say anything? Yeah, don't talk at once now. Pass it on. You got anything to say? I think you're unmuted. Go ahead.
Oh, it was me, Inez. I just wanted to say thank you so much to these men. Thank you to you, Inez, and I piggyback on what Jacqueline said. Listen, y'all, it's past my bedtime now. Y'all can keep talking, but it's past my bedtime. So I don't want to be rude. I want to say good night before y'all hear me breathing nicely.
You're so
Vernon and Dom and Marvis, thank you guys so much. I really, really appreciate you. And thank you for trusting
thank
the process
you.
With me.
Thank you.
And for those of you who come on late, Vernon T's book is My Life's Greatest Troubles. And Dom Martini, Celine Sr., A Life Worthy of Death, is coming out with another book soon. And Sergeant Marvis Cox, My Box of Chocolates. I was going to ask him, if we opened up one of those chocolates, what nuggets are we going to get? But y'all going to have to just read the book. So there, now, I said it. So you can go on the website. You can go on the Pay-Per-Lead Publishing, which is Laquita Parks's, I guess, website as well. And if you need to connect that way, or you can go to letsdoitradio@gmail.com. If you want more information on these young men, to do so and send me an email and say, hey. So that's also available to you. But I do appreciate each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedules for joining this evening. Three black men's authors that we don't get to hear about often, because they seem to always stay in the shadows, but we're going to bring them to the forefront because we need to have more men like this coming to the forefront, telling their stories so they are being heard and other people can tell their stories as well and along with them. And they have, like I say, a safe space for other people to come to and to talk about them. So thank you to every one of you. And, of course, thank you to Laquita for bringing these young men to the platform and for this evening. And I always got announcements. So quick announcements on Thursday, Ms. Inez says, let's talk about it. Dr. Monica Y. Jackson and some other speakers along with Laquita will be here speaking on the T4 conference, which is held in May. I don't have the dates, but it's on the T4 conference, and T4 is Trials, Triumphs, Truth, and Tears. And if they're going to be sharing the news, because we know that far too many of us are suffering in silence and we don't need to, and think that they are alone, and you are not alone. So this is a platform that you can come and talk to. And Dr. Monica has a book out. She authored the book Wounds of Wisdom, and that's an excellent one that Pastor Betty, I'm sure, would love to get a hold of, and we'll put that information out as well. And then on Sunday, of course, we have Easter Sunday, and Reverend Rodney McCullough from Spread the Word Ministry will be speaking, and he is out of Arlington, Texas, and at the same time, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And then we usually have Reverend Ronnie Marshall, who usually joins us, and he's a songwriter, singer-songwriter, and he put out his most current song, Jesus Can Make You Whole. You can go on any music media and listen to or purchase his music as well. And to keep Let's Do It Radio on the air, you can donate to Cash App to $ANAISEVALCOUR to keep this website and this radio on the air. And we have had people who have donated, which I appreciate so much. Or you can go to Venmo at NZ-INEZ or through Zelle if you know my telephone number. And we also have sponsorships. If you'd like to sponsor Let's Do It Radio, you can go ahead and contact me. And we're still trying to get the sponsorships together, but that's coming to you. So I want to let you know I have been your hostess for the evening, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of On Ice Falco Designs. I design clothes for men and women. So if you need anything, let me know, and I will created for you. And today and every day in this world, with all of the natural devastation, disasters, wars, and rumors of wars, people against people and sickness, we need to pray one for another. And before I head out, any last words from anybody? Please, everybody's mic is unmuted, so you're more than welcome to go ahead and speak. Go ahead.
Yes, this is Marvis Cox again, Sergeant Cox.
Yes.
Thank you all for your support and the great words of wisdom. I never got the chance to give you guys my website where you can actually purchase the products that we're selling or my book and so on and so forth. That website is going to be youngsaveleaders.myshopify.com.
Hold on a second. I do not write that fast, so it's Young Saved.
Yes, ma'am.
Leaders, LEADERS. Okay, and the rest of it is?
Dot my Shopify.
Okay, Young Saved Leaders at my Shopify or just next my Shopify?
No, ma'am. It's just Young Saved Leaders dot my Shopify.com.
Dot my Shopify.com. Okay, thank you. So if anybody's out there, I'll put that out there as well. We have youngsavedleaders.myshopify.com, correct?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yay. And we also have people in the chat room. We have Sarge1C, who has showed up, and he's also has served in the service. And so he joins us in the chat room a lot of times. And we also had P-I-A-N-K-I, who also joined us in the chat room. So we have people in the chat room. We have people who click the link and listen in the background who talk to me through text, say, hey, I got something to say. And then we have people who call in at the 845-241-9985 and join us as well. So we have people all throughout. So I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us. Some people are tired, but hey, sometimes this show goes for until 1 o'clock Eastern time. So I just appreciate you guys coming out and being authors and sharing your books and your services and just being out there. Thank you, Ms. Jackson, for talking about your husband. Thank you, Vernon T. Smith, about your book. And his book, again, is My Life's Greatest Troubles, Don Martini, Celine Sr., A Life Worthy of Death, and Sergeant Mavis Cox, My Box of Chocolates. Mm-mm-mm. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And again, thank you, Ms. Laquita Parks, for publishing their books and having this platform coming to us. So if nobody else has anything, I'm going to go once. Someone would like to say something? Go ahead.
Clear? It's Marvis, Marvis Cox, M-A-R-V-I-S.
Would I say Mavis?
Yeah,
Mavis. I said Marvis. Have Marvis. Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Sergeant M-A-R-V-I-S Cox. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And since we have Pastor Betty Bennett, do you mind closing us out in prayer?
I absolutely do not. Do anyone else have anything else to say prior to us praying?
Amen.
Amen. Father God, we come tonight, Lord, to give you all the glory, all of the honor, all of the praise. We acknowledge you, Father God, as the creator of this universe, the creator of everything within it. The Psalm 34 said, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. Lord, we thank you for this time of coming together to share, Lord God, the very thoughts that are on our hearts, whether we put them on pages or whether we put them out loud on this line. We thank you, Father, for everyone who participated in the call. We thank you, Lord God, for the host, and we thank you for the publisher that has come together to make all this happen. For all the golden nuggets and the words of wisdom that you have imparted into each and every one of us through everyone that is on the call and into the listening audience, Lord God. We thank you for it. We give you praise, Lord God, because you're so worthy. We thank you because you're so good. We love you because you first loved us. Father, we just ask right now that you will continue to lead and guide us through your powerful Holy Spirit. Keep us safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. Lord God, keep your loving arms around us. And as we sleep on tonight, call your guardian angels to watch us. Lord, we thank you that even in the Little Rock area, which encountered a lot of storms and devastation, storms moving into the Little Rock metro area right now, that you're going to keep everyone safe, sound, and secure.
Yes.
And Father, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all of the praise. For of a surety, you are good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you to each and every one of you. And if you have any questions or like to get in contact with me, hit me up at letsdoitradio@gmail.com. Thank you and blessings to each and every one of you. And as you look at the man in the mirror, think about that change. Have a blessed evening until we meet again on Thursday evening, same time, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Blessings to each and every one. And thank you, Pastor Betty, for that wonderful prayer. Amen. Good night.
Amen.
Thank you.
Good night.
Amen. Amen.